to order, please. And if you will join us in the pledge.
Salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Welcome, everybody, and we will get started, and we will start first with our superintendent update with our reports and communication.
Great. Well, first of all, I would like to introduce Lieutenant Colonel Bobby Hale. He is our new liaison for Beale. We've had a little while where we haven't had one, so welcome. And you know, you'll be a big part of the board, so thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, so I have a few things to report. First of all, I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone that's been working so hard to get this year up and running. It's no small feat, given the fact that we've had a lot of late enrollments, had to hire two teachers in the last couple of weeks, and we've hired some classified staff still as of today. We still have some openings. So it is moving in the right direction, and a lot of people have been working very hard. So thank you. The two buses that we ordered last year arrived this week. Both are fully air conditioned. These are the two buses that were partially paid for through the county grant, the emissions, air reduction emissions initiative grant. Part of that is we have to take two of our old buses to dismantling and they get rid of them. It's trying to get newer vehicles on the road. So they're beautiful and they're not up on the, they're not running yet because the DMV hasn't sent the plates and stuff, but they're going to be nice. And the fact that they're fully air conditioned would be great for kids. We're getting to a point where almost all of our buses now have air conditioning. We did have a staff development day that went fairly well. We had a few snags with presenters not being able to present virtually, but it was all handled well. And Chad and the principals did a good job organizing that day. Regine, Nikki, and myself went to all three sites yesterday and visited every classroom. It was nice to see the students in their classrooms, on the playgrounds, laughing, in the lunchrooms. Staff, for the most part, you could see were smiling, even though they had masks on. It's hard to tell, but you can see that they were smiling. Students were laughing, and lots of learning was taking place. I'd like to give Regine and Nikki a couple of minutes to, if they want to report on anything that they saw on the first day.
Go ahead, Regine. It's really nice to see the campus full and lively and laughter and everyone's smiling faces, those that you could see. It looked like everybody was so excited, the parents to drop off and the kids to be there and the teachers to accept them. So it was a really, really nice way to start a school year. The normality changed. It was nice.
It was great to go see every classroom. Thank you to the administrators for walking us around and to see all the teachers. And but the best part was seeing the kids and to hear them and to see them on the playground and learning how to slide off of the toys on their tummies and stuff like that. It was heartwarming for me. And if I could just sit there and take it all in, the laughter and the normalcy, it was just absolutely amazing for me. And then we walked through preschool, which we probably shouldn't have done because we're a little short in preschool. So if anybody needs a job in preschool, I'm now volunteering out at the preschool. So I spent the day out there today at Beale, and they're doing a great job out there. We are lucky. We have some great staff and a great district. And first day, it was awesome. It was great to see all those kids enjoying themselves and the teachers. Everybody seemed really happy to be back. So thank you for taking us, Craig.
Yeah, absolutely. Yesterday we had some bus issues because the Vassar Lake gate was only ingoing and not outgoing, but that's been fixed. And now we can get the buses in and out. So we shouldn't have any late buses from this point forward unless they close it again for something else. But thank you to the base for getting that open as quickly as possible. Our next board meeting will be September 9th, which is a week earlier than normal because it's our financials for the year or the first interim. And that meeting always has to be done, complete, and sent to the county before September 15th. So the normal one would have been September 16th. So it's on September 9th. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and I'm going to have Nick put up the air quality index chart. We received a lot of calls, obviously, because of the fire. And I wanted to kind of go over what the rules that we follow when it comes to the air index. So, I mean, obviously green is fine, yellow is moderate. We don't have any really significant issues there. Orange is where we usually right now, we're starting off in the mornings. We're somewhere between 100 and 150. And that is still okay to go out, but you're supposed to, you know, shorten your activities, not make them as robust, maybe lower your expectations in PE, et cetera. So 150 to 200 is where we're getting right now in the afternoon because of the smoke. What we're doing with that one is that we still are letting students out between 150 and 200, but much less intense. We're not letting them pick the balls out. We're not letting them play basketball and those types of things. We started today with, out of the base, not letting the kids use the equipment, but then they're just running everywhere. So we are letting them use the playground. If you get above 200, then everything goes to what we would call a rainy day schedule, and all the kids are going to be in the classrooms. Anything in the yellow or the orange and red, if you have a child that has asthma or something like that, and you're concerned, just reach out to the school and they can make other arrangements to have your child go to the library or stay in the classroom or go to the office, hang out or whatever. But hoping that we'll see ourselves get back into this range if they can get these fires under control. So I just wanted to talk to that about that a little bit because we have received a lot of questions. We will put this up on the website so parents can see what it is. And now I'm going to move to the attendance report. So at the time of the agenda, which I put out last week, we had 1,376 students enrolled. That is 74 more than we had last year at this time, and 116 more than we ended with in June. So it really ramped up. That's what caused us to also have to hire some teachers. So it's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it. It just happened later in the summer, so it does create some issues of trying to get everybody placed. We have 143 students in the preschool program, which is 37 more than we had last year at this time. So again, I think people are coming back to the facilities, getting back in classrooms, and showing up. As for what actually showed up, we actually had an amazing first day where we only had five what we consider no-shows, which means that they didn't show up, and we know they're not going to show up. So we had five at Wheatland L, five at Bear River, two at Wheatland Charter, and none at Lone Tree. So about 12 difference, but we have people sitting there wanting to enroll, so I think our numbers will continue to be kind of around the 1376, which is right up there with about 5 years ago. We've kind of gone down since then, so we're back up to what would be the high of 5 or 6 years ago. So that's all I have for attendance.
Okay, we communication from the public. If anybody would like to speak, this is for items not on the agenda. So if you're here to speak about an agenda item, when that comes up, that'll be your time to speak. Right now, if you have something that's not on the agenda, we know Annette always has something.
I was trying to let everybody else go first.
I think they're here for agenda items.
Oh, yeah, for agenda items. Okay. I just wanted to thank Lieutenant Colonel Hale for actually stepping in and being our new school aide on military rep. So I appreciate that. Thank you for welcoming him. And for all of you that don't know, I do my very best to work with all the families that are coming in and transitioning in. We have military connected students that are all over at different school districts as well as this one. And so I'm here to help and support and also partner with the school districts too to make sure that all the children are having a successful school year. So I'm here. We have lots of activities coming up and things like that. And as we get a little further down, I'll introduce you guys to some of those really cool things. One of the really cool things that is out, our Beetle Spouses Club has a teacher grant. So for your teachers that might be interested, there's a cool $500 to help teachers with some of the things that they may need for their classes and all. So I do have some of those, and I'll send it out to you too, Craig, so if you can right. Get it out to your teachers and everything else like that. But I do have some flyers if anyone's interested, okay?
Sure, we have lots of teachers on that would be interested. So
yes. And we all know teachers need a little bit of help, and I'm really grateful for our Field Spouses Club for recognizing that. So any other questions, just let me know. Thank you.
Well, it's nice to see you in person again.
Thank you.
Anybody online have any questions that is not on the agenda or any comments?
I guess I could see the chart. It'll be on the website. Pull the chart.
Okay, that's it. We will move on to our consent agenda. And any comments or questions on the consent agenda? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
First?
Okay.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to our first action item. Authorize the superintendent, Craig Gensler, to file the annual statement of need for emergency 30-day substitute teaching permit.
So this comes to you every year. We have to reapply every year for the 30-day emergency teaching permit. We are hurting for substitutes. And so typically we don't have to do this, but we can, with these next three items, get somebody to sub in our classrooms that didn't pass the CBEST or hasn't taken the CBEST, but they do have their BA. It'll allow them to come sub. And so we're hoping that will inspire some people to come sub, because when we have a teacher out and we have nobody to fill it, it really impacts the classrooms. So this is just the first of the three, and you can take them all together or take them separately. It's totally up to you.
Okay, so we have also 5.2 then, the approval of the 30-day substitute CBEST waiver, and 5.3, authorize the superintendent, Craig Gensler, to file the annual declaration of need for fully qualified educators. Any comments, questions on 5.1, 5.2, or 5.3? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve this.
I just have a question.
Sure. Okay.
And I think it's in this one. Do we have anybody currently teaching out of their area?
That will come to you in the October meeting if we do.
Okay.
We may in like art. Like we have some of those flex classes that, mm-hmm. You have somebody doing a drama flex class, but they don't have a degree in drama. That would be, but in the regular core, we don't have anybody.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions? I'll entertain a motion to approve 5.1, 5.2, 5.3.
I'll make a motion to approve 5.1, 5.2, and 5.3.
Second.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to 5.4. Approve out-of-state travel to Indiana for FFA qualifiers, 2 students.
So we have 2 students that were 7th graders last year that qualified for the National FFA Fair, and we had 7 8th grade students. So those students are now at the high school. They will also be going. But the 2 students that we need the board's approval to travel out of state are the ones that are going to be currently 8th graders. And I think I gave you the names on those, but.
Are we helping them with their travel?
You mean the district?
The district, yes.
No. Yes and no. I mean, we have FFA money mm-hmm. that helps support that.
Yeah.
And then there's parent money, but yes.
Okay.
No district general fund money can support it.
No, but I didn't know if
yeah.
the FFA portion of that helped them with that. Okay.
Yeah.
And I have a question. I mean, I'm fully in support of everything that FFA is doing and how great the leaders are to the children. But I, in this day with the travel and COVID and everything, is the district liable at all for if something should happen?
The district's liable for every single thing that we do. And that, you know, that becomes an issue of what does that liability hold? If we have parent permission and the parents understand that these children are getting on a plane and going to Indiana, that it relieves most of the liability from the district on something like catching COVID or something like that. Now, if the district were to do something that, or an employee were to do something that is not acceptable, then the liability does fall back on the district, but not the travel piece of it. If that's your question.
Is our FFA leaders going as yes. well, I would assume? Yes. Okay.
It has to be supervised.
Well, yeah. I didn't, sometimes parents will attend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we do have parents that go, but they're not.
You have a child going, don't you, Mr. White?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's all three teachers are going. This isn't just a random trip that the kids are going on. They are actually going to compete as a national finalist. So there's a good chance several of our kids might make the stage as national champions. So this is kind of a big honor for these kids at this point in their life.
Angela, is that what we get to go and watch the rehearsal on the 7th?
Yes. So they're practicing for the interview components. This is multifaceted. Not only did they have to work on a project for over a year, they actually have speaking components where they're grilled on these projects and their knowledge base that they learned from them. So it is quite an academic process, but to make it this far is a pretty big honor. So allowing the children to have this experience is really important.
Yeah, that's awesome. And to have that many students from our small town, I think speaks volumes. So, any other questions or comments about the travel? If not, I will ask for motion to approve 5.4.
So moved.
I'll second it. First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We will go on to our information item, which is our COVID guidelines for masking requirements.
Throw that one up and then I'll see it somebody.
Hopefully
they can see it. Yeah, see
it. Hang on.
Can everybody see that?
Okay.
Is that a yes?
Can you see that online?
Yes, we can see it.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, so first of all, I want to reiterate, this is information only. There's no action to be taken by the board tonight. We are following the previous action of the board, which I will explain partway through this this information item. So I'm going to ask that all questions be held till the end so that it's not a super long presentation, and then we can answer any questions that you may have. Okay, so here we go. Here we may go.
The clicker was working perfect too.
Yeah, somebody who's trying to get into it looks like. Yeah. All right, so let's talk a little bit about COVID-19 and how it's changed from last year. So last year, the Delta variant was not to be known, right? The Delta variant is a new strand of COVID that has come through and is ramping up. So according to the state and the health department, the Delta variant is more contagious than any of the previous variants. Basically, they're telling us that the Delta variant is 200% more transmissible than the first one, which they called the wild type, and then in the Alpha variant. So it's significantly higher in the transmissibility. According to the state, also the health department, those infected with the Delta variant that are unvaccinated have higher odds of hospitalization, ICU admission, and death. According to the state and the health department, and I keep saying that because this is not my stuff, right? This is what we're being told. According to the state and health department, the Delta variant appears to hit children more than the previous variant. And then the last one I have here is the natural immunity that a lot of people talk about. If you've had COVID, then you won't get COVID. This appears to be
not the case with the Delta variant in the sense that you have 2.3 times more likely to get reinfected than the previous variants compared to those that are getting fully vaccinated after their first COVID-19 infection. Okay, on next page. So, this is the second page? Thank you. So this is just a chart to kind of show the difference that was given to us by Dr. Liu, our local health department, showing the differences between those that are vaccinated and those that are unvaccinated. And so you can see the likelihood of catching the disease is 8 times as high if you are unvaccinated than if you are vaccinated. And why do I bring this forward? Because our children in our schools can't get vaccinated. There's no vaccine for anybody under the age of 12. Some of them obviously can, but not all. Nobody in our lower grades. Going to the next chart, if you do catch Delta, the Delta variant, you have 24 more times chance of getting put in the hospital because of it versus if you're unvaccinated versus fully vaccinated people. So you can see if you catch it, and then only 0.1% of people that are vaccinated actually end up in the hospital. And then again, 25 more times of dying from the Delta variant. 0.04 if you're vaccinated versus less than 1% if you're not vaccinated. Okay? So, other information that I think is worthy of making sure everybody understands is, according to the state health department, the state continues to make gains on vaccinating Californians. A significant portion of our population remains unvaccinated, including all children under the age of 12 who are not eligible to receive the COVID vaccine at this time. Currently in Yuba County, 20% of the adolescents ages 12 to 17 are fully vaccinated. In Yuba County, 34.87% of residents are fully vaccinated, as compared to Center County, which is 44.08, and Placer County is 55.02. So people wonder, why do I put up Center and Placer? Because we pull kids from there. We have a lot of children that that come over, mainly military, that live in Western Placer and that type of thing. So just to have that information. According to the State Health Department, California is currently experiencing the fastest increase of COVID-19 cases during the entire pandemic. Case rates have increased fivefold over the past 2 months. The Delta variant is highly contagious. It's currently the most common variant causing new infections in California. Now, California is not the worst state. Florida is the worst state when it comes to the number of cases, but what this is saying is that the rate of infection is much higher than it's ever been in the past. And then, according to the State and Health Department, vaccinations for all eligible individuals, universal masking, sufficient ventilation, COVID-19 testing at schools, and hand washing are all additional safety layers that will help keep everyone safe and keep schools open. Next one. So we just received a state order, another state order on August 11th. This has to do with staff. It doesn't have to do with students. So as of August 11th, the state indicated that all teachers must verify that they've been vaccinated in grades TK through 12. So it does not include junior colleges, but TK through 12 in both public and private schools, which includes charter schools. The district is required to verify all staff through a vaccination card or a QR code. You get the QR code if you registered with the state after you get your vaccination. If you do not get vaccinated, for any teachers that are not fully vaccinated, even if they got one shot before October 15th, they will have to go through once a week screening testing for COVID. So what that means is we will have to set up a test testing company of some sort to come and test all of our employees that are unvaccinated every week. And we have to send that off to whichever one we go with. So we're currently working on trying to come up with a plan for the screening of those that are non-vaccinated. Luckily, we have till October 15th, but we need to get the company going soon.
What do you know the number of unvaccinated staff at this point?
I do not.
Okay.
I know how many have turned in their vaccination cards. If I were to guess, 60% are vaccinated, 40% are not.
Okay.
That's my guess. But not all of them turn their cards in, so we're picking that piece up. Which means that we'll be testing 50, 60 people a week. So yeah, it's going to be a task. It's not going to be a small one either. So we have begun collecting vaccination cards. A lot of staff have turned them in, and we're keeping a spreadsheet of who has verified they're vaccinated. And then we're working on a plan for weekly screenings. We work with this company called The Color Company, and they will screen for free because the federal government pays for it, unfortunately. It's a self-screening, which is means that they get to stand in front of Angela and put the thing in their nose and put it in the test tube, but then we have to deliver it. But the only places to deliver it are Folsom Prison, of all places, Sacramento, and or Oroville. So there's nothing local for us to be able to do that. So we're still looking at some other companies that may not be us having to send an employee every Monday down to up to Oroville or down to Sacramento. I don't think we're sending anybody to Folsom Prison.
They have a really nice museum there with a lot of Johnny Cash memorabilia, so you know.
All right, there you go.
Yes. So every week somebody else could go and they could see the museum.
So this will be no small task for us to try and accomplish, but it is what it is. And everything is.
Thank you,
so much. Moving on to the next page. So what does our current situation look like in the district? So we have the following cases that we are monitoring related to COVID. Now, understand that all but one of these cases have not been in school yet because we only started school 2 days ago. So we currently have two positive cases of classified employees. So those employees are home and they have not been on campus. We have four what we consider close contacts, again, have not been on campus. I should reiterate too, none of these happened at work or at school. They've all happened from family gatherings, social events, that kind of thing. We have
the grocery store.
Grocery store, yeah, whatever. I mean, we don't know exactly where. Some of them know because they live with somebody who has COVID and now they're a close contact. We currently have one positive case for a certificated employee that has not been on campus, and we have one close contact case for a teacher that was on campus yesterday but now is quarantined. Not positive, but somebody in the family is. So
would you remind me again what we do with close contacts? They have to stay quarantined or away from school for
Here's the thing about close contacts, it's a bit of a problem, and I want Angela to chime in here if I get it wrong, because the rules change all the time with it, but this one is, you're almost more doomed, in a sense, from work if you are a close contact than you are if you have COVID. So the way it typically works is if you are a close contact of somebody, let's say I'm a close contact because my wife has COVID. So she has COVID, she has her 10 days. My 10 days don't start until her 10 days are over. So I have to sit out for her 10 days, and then I have to sit out for my 10 days. Now, if I catch COVID from her on day two, then she's done at day 10 and I'm done at day 12. So it's very different in the sense that you're almost rewarded in a sense to get back to work
if you actually catch COVID than if you don't. And it has to do with the incubation period and the, all of that. So we actually have a situation where we have three people that live in the same household. One was tested positive for COVID. That doesn't work for us, but the other three do. And so this one, 10 days didn't start till, and then she got COVID 8 days into it. So this one's 10 days didn't start. So she's got COVID now. And so the last one doesn't, but she has to stay out the longest because she, her 10 days won't end till the last one's 10 days are over. So she's out for like 30 days or something.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, and that, the thing is right now the state still has the COVID leave available for our employees till September 30th, which means they get up to 10 days of leave from COVID without affecting their sick leave. But if you're out for 20, that means 10 of it is paid for by the district. The state mandates it, but doesn't pay for it. So this, the district pays for the first 10 days, and then the next 10 days comes out of your sick leave. So.
And if it's 30, you're.
Yeah, with most of these cases that I'm reporting to you guys tonight, most of them happen prior to school starting. And so they haven't really missed a lot of work because we just started. And some of these, most of these will be back next week. Some will be the week after. Moving on, we have currently four students that have not been on campus that are close contacts. And we have two that tested positive. At Lone Tree and the Charter, we have five close contacts, zero positives. So these guys are all out. And then at Wheatland L, we have six close contacts and one positive. What you'll find if you, or Angela or myself, who looks at all these people, a lot of times the close contact, three of the close contacts at Wheatland L are related to two of the close contacts at Bear River. And so it's the same family, but it's the number of people that are out. I will tell you that this number right here is not much smaller than we've had out the entire pandemic. So we have a lot more kids that are close contacts. I mean, we do have three positives, but we have a lot more children that are out because somebody in the family has COVID. All right, moving on. So one of the things most of you know is we started school a week later than most surrounding districts. I've been in contact with all of them. They are all experiencing a significant increase in COVID cases or close contacts than they had in the spring. So Marysville is reporting multiple cases every single day, whether it's students or staff, it's multiple. Now, understand they're 10 times as big as we are, okay? So they have a lot of cases. Plumas Lake started last Thursday, and in the first week they had 9 cases, one of which was a teacher, which then they deemed all of the students in that class were close contacts. So therefore that class moved to distance learning for the next 2 weeks. Yuba City, they're much higher than Marysville, but again, they're much larger. All right, so facial coverings, what did we see? What's going on right now? So staff, vaccinated or not, are fully masked around when they are around students. We did have a couple of staff members when we walked around yesterday that didn't have a mask on, and those situations have been corrected. Students, it's really hard to know exactly, so I'm doing an estimation, and somebody can argue my numbers, and that's fine. I'm estimating. I'd say we had about Bear River and Wheatland L, we had about 70% of our students wearing facial coverings and about 30% were not. At Lone Tree, it was much closer to a 95.5, 98.2, much, much more, because Beale has a rule now, indoors, everybody wears face masks. So when their parents are having to follow the same rules out at Beale, then their children are following. So a much higher participation rate with fictional covenants at Lone Tree. Also, based on what I viewed, and Nick and Regine can tell it differently, but what I viewed is what appeared to be the highest facial covering participation on day one was the middle school grade. Sixth through eighth grade were participating. They had one or two, three kids in each class that may not have worn them, but everybody else did. My understanding is today is a little different. The lowest participation, which makes total sense, was TK and K, because the reality of little guys, this is a Craigism, this is not truth, but if I'm a little guy and I'm pulling at my mask all the time, it's going to fall off, number one. Secondly, what good is it if I'm always pulling it down and moving it out of the way? So the little guys, it's expected that they aren't going to participate as high. And again, I think it appears, based on what I've been told, that the numbers of students wearing masks decreased today. Recess, PE outside, lunch, students and staff are not required to wear masks. So the way, when the students go out to recess, they, if they are wearing a mask in the classroom, they take them off, typically, unless a parent wants them to wear it. They take them off, leave them at their desk. When they come back inside, they put them on. PE, if it's outside, they would not have one on. If it's in the gym, they would have one on. Lunch, what we've done with lunch is we said to all the kids that are wearing masks, leave your mask at your desk, because you're walking outside to get to the lunchroom. Then you're going to sit down and have your lunch, and then you're going to go out to play. If we had them wear their mask until they got their lunch, then their mask would end up in the garbage with their lunch. So they're not wearing them at all during that period of time. All right, moving on. So what is our current response to masking? The district has pulled the goal right out of the guidance that says all students must have access to a safe and full in-person instruction and to as much instructional time as possible. That's our kind of goal, right? It's what we're leading to, is to make sure kids are in the classroom and not doing distance learning. So the mandate to wear facial coverings by students when indoors at a TK through 12 school site and on buses, and I'll talk about that in a minute, is a requirement by the state. It is not our mandate. And I know people like to get mad at us because we're the ones that have to enforce what the state tells us. But we don't make that decision. That decision is made above us at the state level. So staff, all staff are required to wear facial coverings. And in the guidance, it says, in the presence of students based on the CDPH guidelines. The CDC has a little different take. It says that unvaccinated people have to have their masks on inside in the presence of students. And vaccinated adults, although it's highly recommended, is not required to wear facial coverings in the presence of students. We currently are having all of our staff, vaccinated or not, wear a facial covering in the presence of students. However, if you have a prep period, you're a teacher and you have a prep period, when the students are out, they take their masks off. I noticed yesterday when we walked in, some of the teachers were, as we walked in the door, they were on prep period, they would try to put their mask on real quick. And I tried to remind all of the adults that you don't have to do that unless students are present, based on the guidelines. Beale Air Force Base has issued a directive that everybody inside all buildings on Beale Air Force Base will be required to wear masks, whether vaccinated or not. We are a guest on their property. It is our school on their property. We follow their guidelines. So we are doing that. And here's the difference. If a child doesn't wear a mask at Beale, again, there's no discipline to be handed out. However, the phone calls will be made to parents to say, hey, you know, we're following what Beale wants to do. So part of the state guidelines is the local protocols to address enforcement of the mask requirement must be developed. Our current protocol is to offer and provide masks to all students that do not have them. and ask them to wear them when they are indoors. That is our protocol. Every day, students will walk in, they will be offered a mask if they do not have one. They don't have to take it, but they have. We are offering it. We are providing it, okay? Moving on to the next page. So what is our current enforcement? And I'm gonna tell you right now, this is possibly gonna change at some point. Not because we want it to change, but because we're gonna get called on the carpet, per se. So currently, if a student arrives in class without a facial covering, one will be offered or provided. This will happen daily. You sending an email or telling a teacher, don't offer my kid, I'm sorry, that's not gonna work, okay? You can instruct your child to say, please don't take it, I don't want it. But the teachers are going to be required and are required to offer or provide a facial covering to the students. The teachers are also required to encourage the student to wear, okay, I use the word encourage because that means, Nick, we'd like you to wear it. Not, maybe not necessarily call you out, but class, I want you to wear your facial coverings. Okay. It's a one-time thing, but that's what they're gonna say. And it's gonna happen daily. And I've read some of the stuff that's online, and I'm sorry, but it's gonna happen daily. We are between a rock and a hard place here. We're trying to do what's our mandate as well as adhere to the fact that we totally believe parents should have a say in what their children are doing. So that brings us to bullet three. If a student does not wear the facial covering or wears it down around their chin or whatnot, they will not be excluded from the classroom or from school. They will not have discipline, no discipline slips, no merit point losses, no removal from class. That is our current guideline. District will not be placed in a compromised, district staff will not be placed in a compromising position of taking enforcement actions for noncompliance. So therefore, they will not send students out to the office for noncompliance and will not level consequences. Students are required to wear masks on the bus. Okay, that's another mandate. Students, again, will be offered a mask if they get on the bus without one. They will be advised to wear the mask. If the student does not wear the facial covering, the driver is not going to write your child up, and they're not going to stop the bus and kick them out. Okay? We want them to wear them. That's what the mandate says. But we're not going to discipline a child that, especially on the bus, they typically wear them low, and we're not stopping that. We'd like them to wear them the correct way. If the district continued desire to focus all of our attention and our teachers and staff members' resources and attention on the instruction of students, we do not want to be the mask police. However, we have guidelines that we have to follow. So that's what we're trying to do. The district will continue to deploy other measures, prevention measures, such as hand sanitizer. We have all the ventilation has all been upgraded, all those things that are within that CDPH and CDC guidelines. So this is our current plan. Moving to the next page. What's all that blue over there?
Yeah. Some kid, some tuber, it said, so they somehow they were drawing on some screen. I can reshare it if it's bugging.
No, it's fine. I'm just like, I know I didn't put that.
I thought Nick did it, and he just didn't know how to undo it. I'm like, dude, why is this tech guy fixing that?
I was watching the film. It says Huber, and then all of a sudden they color or something.
All right, so this next paragraph may offend some people, and I'm sorry if it does, but I want to remind everyone that our staff is doing what they are required to do. They are offering and providing masks daily to those that enter the room without one, because that's what we are requiring them to do to meet the mandate. This is a requirement, and they will continue to do so at the district's direction. The hostility, both in person and on social media, towards our staff is unacceptable. Your anger with our people is misguided. The anger should be at the state level, not at our local teachers and other staff members. The staff has been put directly in the middle of this mandate and many people's strong beliefs about not masking. With very few exceptions, the staff have offered masks, and if the student did not take one, they moved on and taught their classes. In cases when this didn't happen on day one, it has been corrected. Please, please stop with the hostility towards our staff online and in person. They are here to work hard for your children, and they have been stuck in the middle. And, you know, I know it's going nowhere because I know how social media works, but it's misguided and it's very unfortunate that people are calling out some of our staff for that. Finally, I've been told by a number of places, not just locally, I've talked to a number of superintendents who are wondering how we're getting away with what we're getting away with. And they have informed me that there either have been complaints or will be complaints filed with the CDPH and OSHA regarding our passive enforcement approach to the state mandate. If this is true, I'm likely going to hear from them at some point in the near future, and I'll deal with what they have to say, and then it may change what we do. It may. I can't guarantee it won't, but I can't guarantee it will. And I don't even know if it's true, but we'll see. As I've indicated before, in our when the board adopted the recommendations, this is a very fluid situation. It changes constantly. So be aware, it can change at any time. It's not going to change by saying today and tomorrow, okay? But it could be we're going to have another special board meeting to do something different. What that difference looks like, we don't know. But at this point, there's no change. Okay? The masks are mandated by the state, and our enforcement is handing them out, telling them to wear them, but not disciplining if they don't. That is how we're doing it. If we get to a point where it's potentially you have to wear it or you can't come in the classroom, then we're going to have to develop a program for long-term independent study for students that will not attend under those circumstances. And we all know that's not best for students, but it could come into play at some point. We're not there yet, but I want everybody to be aware that this could happen based on a whole lot of things, one of them being any complaints filed at the state level. Again, this presentation is for information only. There's no action for the board. They're not ruling on any changes to the current plan at this time. And so I'm happy to answer any questions that the board may have first, and then anybody else that may have questions either online or here.
Do you have any questions or comments on the presentation?
Basically a refresher for us.
No questions?
I will tell you, you know, just personally, I'm very conflicted about this whole thing because my half of my brain says, you got to follow the rules. My other half of the brain says, except when the rules make no sense, right? And so it's that piece that is conflicting for me, and I'm not, this isn't new to anybody who knows me. I want to do what's right. There's no winning. This is a no-win situation. As many people that don't want their children to wear masks, we have people that want their children and every other child to wear a mask. It's just the way life is right now. But we're doing our best to give parents choice. But I do believe at some point that choice, depending on how blown up this whole thing gets, we're not the only district doing this, by the way, right? We're not the only ones. But if somebody files a complaint, they look at the ones that are being complained about. So the high school, theirs is actually much less than ours. They don't even offer masks anymore. Sutter High School is, yeah, we don't believe you can mandate this, so we're not doing anything. Plumas Lake, mandatory masks, or you go in their independent study program. That would be, for me, one of the issues of saying, but they have 9 cases in 3 days, and they're all wearing masks. Right? So there is that piece, too. Because right now, every school district that I'm aware of, that I know people in, their situations of COVID or close contacts, none of them are happening at school. They're all, and this is the same way with the original pandemic. That's why they were telling everybody, don't visit your parents at Christmas, don't get together for Thanksgiving and all that, because it's all happening at homes. It's still happening that way. But it is concerning knowing that this variant is much more contagious and affects even the kids.
Do you want to start?
So one just says congratulations, one says yes, one says very well said, thank you for the very transparent presentation and great communication. We appreciate all the hard work on this very difficult topic. I understand the difficult situation you've been placed in, and I appreciate how you're handling the situation with my kids. Will not wear a mask, and I will not be belligerent to a teacher. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. Robin has a comment. Go ahead. Robin, unmute yourself.
Okay. Thanks, Craig. I can't turn my camera on just because I'm not set up for Zoom in my classroom. So the computer is like facing a wall. And I'm looking on a big screen. So sorry about that. I apologize. You get to see my picture instead. Our last 2 days went really well. I know for me, yesterday went great. I just want to kind of give you as a board a kind of a recap. So yesterday I had a few students, I think 6 or 7 total, that were not masked. I handed them a mask and just said, could you please put this on? Every single one of them put that on without an issue. Or any comment. And so we kind of just went about our business. Today, unfortunately, after social media blew up yesterday, I had 25 of them that most of them were polite about it, that refused to wear it. And I had one student in the corner of my room. So I joke with them that I don't need to go to the hearing van like the rest of us went today in 8th grade because I can hear really well. They had no idea that I heard them when they said, she can ask me to wear a mask, but she needs to know I'm not going to wear it. She can't make me. And I just took a deep breath because I felt like, oh my goodness, we're sending students the wrong message about following rules. Whether I believe in masks or don't believe in masks, we're sending them the message that they get to pick and choose the rules they follow in schools, and that makes it difficult. And then, Craig, I saw your presentation today and I just cringed when I saw the classroom that was shut down for 2 weeks and had to go to distance learning, because I, as a teacher, I do not want to go back to distance learning. I cannot do 6 hours of Zoom a day for the next 178 days. I want my kids in my classroom. They learn better when I'm here. And I'm so worried about our substitutes already. I am so concerned that we are not going to be able to get a substitute. And I don't know what the correct answer is. I'm just going to ask you as a board that we just think about, sometimes we have to put our personal opinions aside and think about what might be best for our kids overall. I know the masking issue is a hot, hot topic. I get it. But if I'm out and I've got another, and there's another teacher out and another teacher out, and I don't know what we're going to do. Do we send those kids, like, where, what do we do with them? If there's no coverage for us as subs, I mean, I'm fortunate in the fact that I have 2 admins on my campus. I have a principal and a vice principal. Other sites are not as fortunate. So we have 2 bodies, but we also have more people. And our sub situation is dire. Like, it is dire. And last year, I can remember covering both teaching a class online, covering an IEP, and telling, and simultaneously, and telling Ange, okay, well, if you need me to teach two classes, I have two sets of screens up here. I can do that. I don't want to get to that this year. I don't want our kids to go back on distance learning. I don't want to do that. And they were so good yesterday. I didn't have a single child complain. We had a great time. We were back together. And I understand what parents are saying. I don't want to have to shut our school down. That's all.
Thank you, Robin. The two things I don't think anybody wants to shut schools down. I don't think that's in anybody's best interest. And where that all goes, they're going to have to drag us out kicking and screaming if they try to shut schools down again. The piece about, I cringe too about the Plumas Lake situation. Not that this makes a huge difference, but all of those kids and that teacher were masked and they still had to go home. So it's a point of information, I guess I'd say. But yes, sending kids home and quarantining a whole class. Luckily, we have a very good nurse who can go and do real contact tracing, and they don't just go, oh, everybody's out. She really looks at what are close contacts, what aren't, and typically we don't find a whole lot of close contacts, but it is very concerning, and I understand exactly where you're coming from.
It is, thank you. And I don't know what Plumas Lake situation is. I mean, it could have been during lunch. Like, for my goodness, how do we contact trace during lunch? That's a nightmare just in itself. I would not want Angela's job for that piece.
Should we open it up in here?
Well, yeah. Anybody else have any comments? We can open it up wherever. I mean, okay. We don't have to go back and forth. So okay. Please introduce yourself as you.
My name is Tamara Foray, and I have pulled my kids out of the school district because of this whole fiasco. My kids, I'm personally doing my best to homeschool my kids independently because it's ridiculous. The science, there is no science behind the science. If you dig into what they're saying and where things are going, there is no science behind their science. You can put your stats up there and—
Not my stats.
You can put their stats up there, whoever stats they are. And you can turn around and find things that are completely opposed to that.
Sure.
If you're not on mainstream media. So I'm a conspiracy theorist, if y'all want to call me that, whatever. My kids will not be back in public school ever because of this, because they're old enough that it's not going to happen. But I want you to know that I am part of the Republican Central Committee. I will be involved. We are now alive and active again in Yuba County. We will make sure that people are elected into these positions that are paying attention to what's really going on and not being led around by the nose, by the government propaganda. I don't even understand. I won't even pretend to understand this complete evil. I don't know why. I don't completely understand why. There's all kinds of theories out there, but I will say that we will not, I hope this group grows. I'm impressed that there's so many people here. I understand your position. I understand that. Thank you. I'm so happy to hear that kids can. Parents do have some sort of choice and that you are a school choice for doing that. And I applaud you for that. At the same time, when I hear, I'll leave it at that. I just thought I need to say my piece because I have I belong to TIP and I have to be at a meeting in 30 minutes. But thank you again for those of you who are supporting what's happening and giving children and parents a choice. And those of you who don't, you really need to pay attention to what's really happening. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
I'm going to say one thing.
Just can you tell us who you are?
Mary Walker.
Okay, well, just because we recorded.
No problem.
Thank you.
I know the teacher said that she handed masks out and students who have a problem with it. Most kids aren't. But those kids that do have medical conditions that they don't understand, like their parents understand it, they're not going to have a problem with it because they don't get what it's actually doing to them. So for my kid, attend severe asthma. So he has to be masked, he's out in smoke, and he's covered all day long. I'm the one constantly puffing him when he gets home. I'm the one up with him all night who's coughing nonstop when he's at home. So you have to look at all of the aspects of it, not just the, oh, I handed your kid a mask, he didn't have a problem. Well, yeah, you're his teacher, so they still do listen. But there's also underlying reasons why there's certain parents that don't want their kids wearing those masks. And you have to remember that.
Yeah, and there are medical exemptions, mm-hmm. which you can get for your child. And no matter what happens with the masking, they don't have to wear one if you get one of those medical exemptions. But your point is well taken. It's not just one facet. There's so
yes,
many.
There's a lot.
Yes.
Anna Peter, I just have a question. So we all know it's, like you said, it's going to be inevitable. It's probably going to get back down to the mandate. My question is, like, what happens if you say, you know, I'm still going to give them a choice? Like, I still think that parents have a choice. Like, can they come in then and just be like, well, fine, I'm not going to give you guys funding, or, you know, is that just what would be
where yeah.
you want? Yeah, what
keeps I mean, I'm speculating because it hasn't come to us yet, but I'm speculating that they can, with if it's a state mandate and we don't follow the mandate, they can withhold our funding. And we can't survive with withholding funding. Now, would they go that far? I don't know. We're in a situation right now where Orange County schools is suing the government.
They won. They don't have to get vaccinated. That's what we're
talking
about.
Oh no, I was talking about masking. They don't believe that the government has the authority to mandate masking. And so I'm hoping that that sends the message, but as far as I know, it hasn't been settled yet. The other one, I'm not sure of. So, but yeah, that's probably our biggest issue. Is if they started to withhold funding from us.
Are we talking about salaries?
What do you mean?
Withholding funding?
Withhold what? So our district.
What involves the.
Everything.
What are they withholding? Salaries for.
Keeping the lights on. Yeah.
We don't know. I'm speculating. If they were just going to withhold the superintendent's salary, that's one thing. If they're going to withhold all of our funding and therefore we can't have HVAC going because we don't have money to pay for it, that's a totally different situation. And I'm speculating because I think there's a lot of steps before you would get there. But that ultimately, they're doing that in other states. In fact, they're doing it the opposite way in Florida, where they're withholding funding for anybody who mandates masks. So, you know, again, states are states. But that, just to answer that question, I think that's the ultimate. At some point, they probably, what would happen is they would start off with OSHA coming in and finding us and then have to correct the behavior, which is usually what happens.
Susan Johnson, let's say your kid has ADD, ADHD, anything like that, mm-hmm. is that considered possibly a reason for a kid not to wear a mask because it interferes with their learning in the classroom?
If your doctor writes you a note, absolutely.
Just reaching out of lines here, I reached out to my son's doctor a few weeks ago. He says he cannot diagnose my son with ADD or ADHD. It's got to be from the actual school psychologist, not himself.
Well, that's interesting. I'll let Angela speak to that. But the only...
It's actually the opposite. They always tell us we can't diagnose. It has to be a doctor.
Okay, hold on one second. The actual diagnosis of ADHD is a medical diagnosis which has to come from your child's pediatrician. It cannot come from the school. The school itself then can give information to the doctor to make that happen. But when it comes to masking, which is, I think, where your question was, we are not allowed to give medical clearances. It has to come from a doctor. Again, state mandate. We got something yesterday that said that the medical board is now investigating doctors that are giving medical exemptions to students if they've never examined the student.
Right.
So all of that is
it's an ugly fine line of all of that. Yeah. I reached out to my son's doctor.
Understand what you're saying.
And he said, and I have to email everything. He said, we do not have a psychologist with Kaiser. He needs to be examined by your son's school. We can certainly
run through screeners, but I believe, and
I think Angela wanted to speak to
I believe that it's actually a medical diagnosis. They would take our psychologist screeners to make that determination. Ange, is that correct?
Yes, sorry, I was having trouble with the mute button. It is like a mandate. We are not able to make a medical diagnosis. We can run them through O'Connor's and some other screeners that they often take back for the doctors to use. And we're happy to do that. But we can say that a child exhibits symptoms of, but we can't actually provide any medical diagnosis. That has to come from a doctor.
Interesting.
So that's for ADHD, but for the mask mandate, it absolutely has to come from a doctor. They were contemplating that a parent could say, my child has asthma, so therefore, here's my excuse. They tossed that out the window.
So you have to have a doctor's note saying that your child has asthma from the doctor, saying that
the child has X, and therefore, they should not be wearing a mask.
Or interfere some way or another with their learning or breathing or whatever it might be.
I have yet to get a medical. Have you seen one? So I think the doctors are under a little bit of pressure too not to write those.
Right.
Right. So there's that whole thing that's playing.
Right. I've been fighting tooth and nail not to have him tested and diagnosed and all. I don't, you know, it's kind of one of those parents, you don't want that stigma on the kids. But the reality of it is I'm pretty sure, obviously, he's in control of circles right now.
Seems good to me, but I
mean, he's still paying attention and stuff like that, and that's a whole other deal.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just the reality of absolutely. I know what, you know, it is.
Yep.
And it's just kind of frustrating, you know, that aspect. Because I know if he sits in class and he's going to be doing this with his face instead of focusing on what he really needs to focus in on. And it's just, you know, it's kind of a catch-22. It's like, you know, I mean, meds are not going to be the issue. It's if you've got it, it's very mild, but that mildness, just the mask would take a huge distraction away from him focusing in on class, because now he's got this mask going up and down.
And I think this is exactly what Mary's point was, is that every child has different things that we need to look at. It's not just single faceted.
Right.
And unfortunately, when mandates come down, they don't look at any of that. They just say, this fits everybody.
Right.
So
we're
trying right now to allow for parents to make those decisions.
And that's why I love
so them. That's, we're hoping that we can continue to do that, but it does scare the crap out of me, excuse my language,
absolutely.
But it really does because of what we're seeing. But again, if a parent is making that choice versus us, it seems like the right thing to do. Unfortunately,
because the parents,
state may say different.
That's on them, right? Absolutely.
And I'll have to say, Mr. Gisler, if you don't know him, he is all about the kids, and he came to us with this recommendation of letting the parents have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in a hard position, and I know because I'm on speed dial, like, hey, guess what? This is happening. Okay, let's fix this. Because he wants to do right what the parents want. He wants to do, but he wants to also take care of the staff.
Yep.
But in the same time, he's trying to also protect the district, you know, from that. And I'm sure at some point we're going to get hammered, probably from somebody, but at least we can fight. And he's been fighting with us to let you guys have, you know, your safe for your children, and I think we all want to do what's best for our own kids, and we know what's best for our own kids. So I'd like to thank you for all the work that you've put in, and thank you guys for being here and being proactive in this too. You know, we want to work with you, not against you, and that's the whole thing. And I think the staff wants to work with you, most of them too, you know,
The other thing I'll ask of people is, and it's probably nobody in here because typically the ones that get on social media and bash don't actually show up to meetings, but if you have an issue with something that your child's teacher has supposedly done, please reach out to the teacher, right? The best way to solve an issue is for you to talk to the other adult. 9 times out of 10, it's just a miscommunication. But as soon as it elevates from my kid came home and said, Mr. Gensler did this, to people posting it and then 147 comments, it breaks the relationship that your teacher and children will have. So go about it the right way, just like you would want it if somebody had something to criticize you about. You wouldn't want them doing it to the public. You'd want them to come to you first. So I just ask that you do that. So, yes.
I have a toddler in TK who has a speech delay. So we chose Wheatland because the whole up to you decision on the mask. But once it's mandated, what if that does happen? What happens to the kids that are in the younger classes that could have a speech delay and are learning these critical words and how to pronounce them? My son also goes to an outside speech therapist who wears a clear face shield, and she just watched a study that even that is blocking certain sound waves. So are we going to be hindering our children from learning certain things because we're not able to understand what they're saying, because that's also blocking the words that they are telling us that we already have a hard time understanding? So when I approach the teacher, I just let her know, you know, if he wears his mask again, get frustrated because I'm telling you you're not going to be able to understand what he's saying without seeing his lips. So what do we do then?
That's when I would go to a doctor and get a medical exemption if I could. I totally get what you're saying. And there's as many studies about masks being good as there are of masks hindering children's ability to speak and breathe and all of those things. We're talking about right now the state of California mandating something, and we're trying to avoid having them come in here and shut us down or do something. But when that happens, then we all have to get our heads together and figure out how do we still service those children that the mask becomes an impairment for them. And right now, the only option is a medical exemption. Now, when your child would be in speech, then we can put up a plexiglass thing between if we had to, or our speech teachers often do not wear their mask when they're doing speech. And they don't have the child wearing their mask during speech. It's when they're in the larger classroom that it becomes an impediment to their learning. And,
so I just mean overall, if my son is diagnosed with this and we are doing what we can to advance and be ready for kindergarten, what about the parents that have the kids that don't have a speech delay right now or any kind of impairment? Is that going to delay them once their kids have masks? Are we going to have a problem with them acting out in class now because they're frustrated the teacher can't understand them as well, but they don't have a written statement saying that they have a speech delay?
Yeah, that's a great question. And yeah, no, it's a great question. We don't know what the long-term effects are of any of this, right? People talk about the vaccine. You know, they don't know what the long-term effect is. People talk about masks. What's the long-term? We're not going to know for a while what impact it's had on our children. I can tell you what impact students not coming to school has, right? Because that's pretty easy to figure out that that child is still at first grade level and they're in second grade now because of, but what the impact of wearing a mask, yeah, that's a down the road question.
And what you just said is my biggest fear for our younger kids, because when they speak to see how, I've said that since, this board can say that has been my number one thing. How do these kids learn to read, to talk, to see the lips make the sounds? That scares me because I've said for the last however long, are we going to have a generation of kids that they sound like they're deaf students because they're not getting the full thing? It scares me to death. And the state needs to look at that and see. And I think our teachers, I know Mrs. Plant really, she works hard at that. And I think if you're at Wheatland now, she's really gonna work.
She's probably in Mrs. Barker's classroom.
Yeah. Oh, Dolly's class. Okay.
Well, I also worry that, you know, that one teacher tries to strongly encourage the kids to wear the mask. Well, my son is 4.5 years old, but he's going to feel intimidated and want to wear that mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
yep.
I don't want to teach my son to fight the adult and sit there and argue. He's going to feel like he needs to because all the other kids are, and this adult is telling him.
Is that something we can do, request a different teacher? Because I noticed I have two kids now in the house, the whole new ballgame for you guys. One class right here, the students come out, and every single one has a mask on, and I'm assuming that teacher said, hey guys, put your masks on. And then my son comes out of this class, and they don't have their masks on. So, like, if a parent is in this class and they feel like that teacher is pushing that too hard, are we allowed to request a new teacher?
You can request, but I'm not sure it will be granted because our classes are completely full.
And like you said, maybe go talk to that teacher, because I agree with you. It's how you ask your students when you present that mask, because most parents raise their kids to be respectful and to listen to adults at school. So how that mask is presented to them and asked to wear it for the smaller kids is key, because they're not going to be like the middle school kids and say, no, thank you.
Yeah.
They're going to. So I don't know if we ask different or if you just have that conversation with the parents, because I agree with you wholeheartedly, you know.
If you just see, like, this whole class has them and this one doesn't. So that's gotta be the adult in the room that pushed that. So.
Well, if we were large enough, my dream would be, if we were large enough, I would have a second grade class that was masks optional and a second grade class that everybody wears a mask. And, you know, but we're not.
Large, right? Not hybrid.
You mean combo classes?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, we have these issues with, we can only have 24 kids, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now, combination classes are difficult.
What age level is that at?
First grade. And I feel like my son's just not going to get the challenge of first grade because he's with over 50% kindergartners.
Well, let me tell you, my son did K-1, 1, and 2-1. So he had first grade 3 times, and I know. And it's hard when your child's on the, you know, top, you know.
Yeah.
So
we'll see how it goes.
Typically, though, I mean, just to help augment that, we do add an extra adult into a combo class. So they have a para for 5 hours in that combination class, where other classes might have a para for 3, and then that para goes somewhere else. So there is some help in that. But yeah, there's been a lot of studies done on combination classes. And if they're set up correctly, oftentimes the kids advance more than they would in the regular class.
Well, I asked Mr. Town how it worked today, and he told me he didn't know. So,
yeah.
How what worked? I don't know.
How the curriculum was set up in my son's combo today.
Oh, well, that's a great question for the teacher.
Yes.
It really is. I mean, having our principals to know every single thing about the way a teacher sets up their classroom would be like me, who's in charge of food service, to say to Jamie, I'm going to go over there and fix your kitchen. No. Because I have no idea, right? So,
well, technically, you kind of do.
Well, passed out plenty of it. But yeah, talk to the teacher. So, oftentimes in combo classes, what they do is they'll do a lesson with their kindergartners, and then the aide will work with the kindergartners while the teacher then does a lesson with first grade, and then the para moves over with first grade to do the practice of what they just taught, and then they move back. So I would talk to the teacher.
I'm waiting for her to get on Dojo. She's one of the teachers that
she got hired last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm waiting for. When she's up and running, then I'll go to.
Yeah, and she and I will say, I know, and this is just
you only know because you have to go to the alarm.
Yeah, well, yeah, I wasn't gonna put that out there, but so this teacher in the middle of the night, my husband is the maintenance guy. He gets a phone call that our alarm is going off at Wheatland. And that teacher was setting up her classroom at 11:45 at night by herself.
She's a blogger, so she talks all about that on her blogs.
Oh, really?
And she's very big on Instagram and YouTube.
Really?
And
I didn't get to meet her that night because she called the custodian because she didn't know what was happening. And so he found her under a desk with the lights out because she didn't know. But it's dangerous. We don't want her there. But I mean, you look at her classroom. You know, and it looks very nice. And
just to kind of wrap this piece up is our staff, our teachers are very open.
Yes.
To, I can't say 100% of everybody that I ever deal with is 100% open, but our teachers are open
for you coming, having a conversation with them about whatever it is that you're worried about or questioning, please just go talk to them.
Yeah, I really like our TK's teacher. Yeah, she's been very informative on
everything. She's been doing it for a number of years too.
Yeah, so, she's been very on top of it too. Like, I was waiting to hear from the speech therapist and she was like, I'll call her, and then boom, like I got a call within 30 minutes.
And it's day two, what, day one, day two?
Day two, yes.
So that speaks volumes, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, do we have any online?
Oh, some chat. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, you got
I've
some
got
chat.
It lined up where you're
okay.
Right here.
Okay. Thank you, guys, though, for all the information. It really helps us know what's going on with your kids.
Okay, so I'm just going to read these, and then I don't really know that they'll take responses, but I'll read them. They should follow the rules. That makes sense. I, as a parent, feel the masks are a detriment to my children's health and welfare. This is best for my kids, period. Okay, good statement. LOL, finally, the good part. I don't know what that means.
Did he bring the popcorn? He's just watching for the, for the, you know.
No theory, it says it on the back of a box of masks does not stop viruses.
Right.
No reason to wear them, period.
Right.
Interesting. Thank you. Thank you, Craig, and the board members. Do you offer an online option for school this year as an alternative of being on campus for mask beliefs or in any other reason a parent may have? My previous question should have said, or any other COVID-related reason. So we are not currently offering a independent, they change it from distance learning to long-term independent study. If we have somebody, we just haven't had any interest. If we had one or two people, then I would sign a transfer and let them go to Plumas Lake in their alternative ed independent study program, because they have like 60 kids there that are doing it. They need more because it doesn't bode well to have two or three kids. I can't hire a teacher for two kids. So currently we do not have it online. I would guess that if we do get pushed in the direction of having to enforce the mask mandate, we will have to gear one up very quickly for those people that want to do that. So hopefully that answered your question, Angie.
I think she's talking about her teacher because she's a para.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, she's here. She's amazing.
I was talking about the Kinder First teacher. She is on our Zoom and she is absolutely amazing. And I know she'd be willing to.
You should see Rochelle during a jewelry show. You know, she's like,
yeah.
The internet works good for that.
No, it doesn't.
So, yeah.
I'm cooking dinner. Sorry.
All right. I don't see anything else on there.
Nope.
At this point. Oh, Mr. Town. Okay. He'll be reaching out to the parent tomorrow. He'll reach out to you tomorrow.
Cool. I should
be able to
get a hold of the teacher, I hope.
Well, here's the other thing. Last year and most of the year before, you're not allowed to step on campus.
Yeah, I.
That's no longer the case. So if you want to pick up your child and then have a conversation with the teacher, or at least have an appointment to have a conversation with the teacher, email the teacher, any of that, that's what I would do.
I think they're working their kinks.
They are.
You know?
Yeah, stay tuned. Right. I mean, we had some issues yesterday. We all know it. 157 people wrote about it. But yeah, I mean, we're all trying to move in the right direction.
Yeah.
And we will work kinks out as they come up.
Trust me, I'm playing in preschool right now as a helper. So
it takes a village.
It does take a village.
What else do we have, Jamie?
I'm Jamie Furtz. I am a staff member for the district, also a parent. So I have a good seat at seeing the staff side and the parent side. So So knowing that going into this, the teachers have to hand a mask to a student that does not have one, and they have to ask them, can you wear your mask? So explaining that to my child, that the teacher has to ask you and that they have to hand it to you, but you can politely decline and say no thank you. And to tell them that when you go to school, that you give respect to the ones that are wearing it as much as you deserve respect for not wearing it. So at the previous meeting, it was brought up about what if a teacher bullies or tries to intimidate the students to wear the mask. And you said that would go under any other act as far as the way that the teacher is treating the student, and it's not acceptable. Okay. So yesterday, my son goes to school. His teacher asked him to wear a mask. He wore it, and he didn't say no thank you. And I said, just remember, and I had to re-explain to him why. So today he goes to school and he said no thank you, no issues, homeroom, first period, second period. So he goes to his science class and he doesn't have his mask. Other students in the class don't have some masks on, some do. And then he tells me that the teacher went on to tell them that for the ones that are not wearing their masks, they are endangering lives. And to go on to do a class project, including students for class participation, and the teacher telling the students, I am only choosing the kids that have masks on so I don't get sick. I'm not okay with that. I am okay with the mandate and I understand. I am okay with the teachers having to pass out the masks and asking the students to wear them. I understand the position because I'm in the position working in the kitchen where I have to wear my mask when the students come in, and I wear my mask when the students come in. I understand that. But for me to have to tell my child to have respect for others that want to wear it and to tell him that he deserves to have respect to not wear it, and to have his teacher tell him that, I'm not okay. And for us to be strong and going forward and trying to get them that important instructional time, I'm not okay with him going in and her taking her instructional time away to give a lesson or lecture, whatever you want to call it, on why these kids need to wear masks. And to, I feel, discriminate for him not wearing it and not allowing him to have class participation because he's not wearing it.
So I'm gonna ask one question. Have you talked to the teacher?
No, I have not.
That's your first step. Because truly, you can't solve the problem unless you have a conversation. It may be exactly how you're explaining it. It may be a different situation based on what the teacher says, but you gotta go to them to try and solve that problem, right? There's for us to then go to the teacher, I wouldn't do that to you as a kitchen manager, right? I would expect that the parent who's unhappy would go to you first before they elevate it up. So I would just ask that you go to that teacher and have that conversation with that teacher.
So have that conversation with that teacher first and then see how class goes and then go to Angela.
Yep, and then move it to Angela, and then if it doesn't get solved, then you can bring it up to here. We have a chain of,
I know.
So it's really a matter of, I will tell you, and it's not 100%, but a lot of times when the parent and the teacher get together, it's not exactly the way a child explained it. So I'm not saying your child didn't, but I'm just saying it's not always that way. You can get to that when you talk to the teacher.
I will tell you, this teacher that's in question, we had the same problem through distance learning, and she spent numerous occasions on different days, half hour at a time, to talking about the importance of masks. Indoctrination, okay? It's wrong to indoctrinate our kids the way this is going. This is, you mentioned a few questions earlier that you'd like to have answers to. Let's ask China. That's where this all rings down from. This is foreign influence. This is nothing to do with us. And I'd like to know, how many years is it going to be we're going to be in masks? How many years are we going to tolerate this?
Those are great questions that we don't have the answers to. Well,
if my kids end up being put back in masks, I'm putting them in charter school and my homeschool. I mean, that's just a drop in the bucket for the
future. Sure. No, but that is absolutely a parent's right.
Right.
A charter school, unless they're an independent study charter school, is going to have to follow the same mask mandate. They don't get out of it because they're a charter school. So it's a matter of, if you choose, if we get to the point where all kids have to wear masks and you choose to move them into an independent study program and we have one available, great. If not, you go somewhere else.
Right.
You got to do what's right for your kid, 100%. What we're trying to do is trying to figure out an unwinnable situation here, right? And we're doing our very best to make that happen. Back to this question, all I'm saying is, I'm not saying it did or didn't happen. I'm not there, you're not there. Have a conversation with the teacher and then move from there.
A majority of your teachers on board with you guys, is there a percentage that say yes to masks and no to masks?
We didn't survey them.
But I feel like if you guys are fighting an uphill battle, if your staff is not supporting the same thing that you are pushing so hard for.
Insubordinate.
You guys are here educating us. You're pushing for us to have rights, and the people that you hire are not supporting it.
Well, I think that's a big stretch. I can't tell you 100% of the teachers buy
I'm
into
not saying all of them, yeah,
but I would say a large percentage of them believe in parent choice. Okay. A large percentage of them. Are they scared? Absolutely, they are. Absolutely.
Scared of legal backlash. They're not scared of this virus. Everybody I've talked to this far is more scared of legal backlash than the virus.
Well, that's one thing I'm not scared of, right? Because, I mean,
I'm glad.
It is, first of all, let somebody try to prove where they got COVID.
Right.
Let them try and prove that. I can say yesterday you were at Costco. You got it there. You got it on our playground where it's not required to wear masks. School districts often run scared about the legal piece of it. We have to do what's right for kids and do the best we can and follow that mandate. Now, if they start holding our funding back, now we can't do anything for kids. And now we have a different situation. But, yes, sir.
James Thatcher. As a matter of policy, as far as handing out the mask, there's a little gray area there with encouraging mask wear. Like, we would like you to wear a mask. And that's a fine line for kids that are really impressionable to feel shame. It's really easy to say one different word and make them feel shame for not wearing the mask. For instance, I have a hard time believing 25 students went there without a mask and were just happy to put it on. I have a hard time believing that the family sent them without a mask because they wanted to wear a mask. So they get there, now they're wearing a mask. They come back the next day, and it sounds like they were corrupted when they went home. Not that they were reminded of their rights, listening to whoever was talking about that situation earlier. So that gray area, if you had another teacher that had a different idea, would it be okay for him to discourage the mask wearing? And say, you don't really need to wear a mask, they don't work. Would that be okay? Because it sounds like some of the staff is encouraging it based on their bias.
So I can't speak to people's biases. I can tell you the only way we're going to get through this and allow parents to have choice is to have a mandate. And then our enforcement is this, and it's handing them out. If we get called on the carpet, it's not going to be good enough, right? It's not. But yes, I think that different teachers, you can tell by the numbers of kids that are wearing masks in that class. It just didn't happen by circumstance. We didn't get 23 in this class that wear masks and zero in this one. But, you know, I think that it behooves us to ask the child, and I guess as a parent, it behooves you to say to your child, just respectfully say no.
And that teacher that was speaking, and hopefully she and I think she does, said we need to leave our personal bias out of it, talking to the board. I think that goes for the staff as well.
Well, I can tell you that in my dealings with that particular teacher that was speaking, she's not a wear it or else kind of a person. It's not the same person you're talking about, but I just don't see that in her. But I do think that you're hitting it on, you know, when you see a class that is fully masked versus a class that's not, there's something that's causing that. So.
Okay. Any other questions or comments before?
I have a comment.
Okay, well, we're getting to board comments right now. So guess what? You can go.
Okay, so for me, this has been a very disturbing meeting. And I'm thinking only because I feel like staff members are being attacked. And I don't think the board meeting is a place to do that. I think if a parent or a community member has a problem with a teacher or a staff member, they should do exactly what Craig said. Go to the teacher or go to Craig, but I don't think it is, this is not a social media room. This is not you putting it on Facebook. And I think that if you really have a problem with an employee, you need to go to the employee or you need to go to the employee's boss. But I don't think the school board meeting in full view of everybody, especially like a teacher, I don't even know her, who's been on the job 2 days. And, you know, it's like, I think it's wrong.
I just want to clarify. I don't believe anybody, my personal opinion, I don't believe anybody in here is bashing. I think they're asking questions.
If you have more followers, maybe she'll thank me for saying she's wrong.
But I do think that, again, I'll reiterate, don't come to me until you've gone to the teacher, gone to the principal, and nothing gets accomplished. Then come to me. The board has zero say over disciplining, except terminating. They are not here to hear personnel situations. It doesn't go that way. That's not how the system works. So go to the teacher.
I think there is a chain of command, but I understand you coming to us because you are the people who elected us. And so you have your right to come to us and tell us what you want for your students. So in that respect,
I do feel that because I feel like because you are our board and there is a chain of command and I respect the chain of command and I will follow that. But I think it's important for you guys to be aware of what's really going on the campuses because it'll take a while for that to finally trickle to you and get to that point. So,
but no disrespect, Jamie, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you really don't know yet what took place because you haven't had the conversation with the teacher. It may be very different. And so when somebody comes to this group and gives their opinion of what took place, but they didn't follow the protocol, then it's a definitely a one-sided view at that point. The other side hasn't been spoken to. So that's all I'm saying is just before we bring it up to the levels, let's have the conversation because most of it can get fixed at the lower level.
And I agree with you, but I just don't want anybody to ever feel that they can't come to us when, you know, absolutely, that's why we're here.
Absolutely. I had numerous calls, texts, emails last night. One of my first questions was, well, did you reach out to the teacher? And please reach out to the teacher and bring your concerns to the school, to the admin. Mr. Town, Ms. Gallagher, and I did also tell everybody, and we have a board meeting tomorrow. Follow your chain of command, and we have a board meeting.
You mentioned protocol, but, you know, I haven't seen anything saying, hey, go call and talk to your teacher first, or, you know.
Well, that's just common sense, right? I mean, in any job.
But I can't even get a hold of her.
Been 2 days, right? You're the one who just said that she has been setting up a classroom. You will get a hold of her.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that all I'm saying, I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm just trying to say in any job, you would want to go to the person that you're having concerns with first before you go to the bosses. I don't care what you do. That's the chain of command in any job, is talk to the person that you're concerned with and figure out from there. And then if it doesn't work out, then move to Mr. Town or Mrs. Scalper or Mrs. Jackpot, and then move up.
Unless you know the person's irrational to begin with, then it's just spinning the wheels to even try to deal with them.
Fair enough.
I mean, I always ask for the manager. I don't go to the person I have a problem with and say, I want to talk about this problem. I say, let me talk to your manager. So I think that's how people automatically kind of go that let's look at somewhere above them.
I understand that point too.
I'm here for more educational purposes to see, like I said, this is my first year with kids in your district, and it's nice to know all your faces that are on the board and not all the things that we see on social media. So we're here, so you can't be upset with us for bringing up the things that we're concerned about, because we're right here in front of you.
I don't think anybody's upset. So, I don't. I mean, yeah, I'm just trying to redirect the way to go about it.
Yeah, no, and I agree with your direction. But not everybody knows.
Yeah,
this
company
can tell
on
day two.
Yeah. Better planning for board meeting
next year. Now, I was very impressed with our parent involvement today. 15 parent and family members here. I have never been to a board meeting since I've been on the board that we have this much attendance. I welcome it, not just in times that we have issues, but for every board meeting. Be involved, show up, know our faces. So when you see me through town, you're like, oh wait, oh yeah, I remember her. She's not just the notary that I had to hire for paperwork, she's on the board too. Or, oh wait, yeah, and her kid is Tony, he's in so-and-so's class and friends with my kid. Come, get to know us, recognize us. Several people in town have my number. Like I said, multiple calls and texts yesterday.
However, don't ask me what time Bear River starts when I'm buying grapes at Big Al's, because I don't.
I'm self-employed, so I like to keep, you know, business hours, and don't want to let you buy your stuff.
Anytime, it's okay. Thank you. Any other
board? Mr. Town is available at 8:30 tomorrow. Are you available at 8:30 tomorrow?
8:30. Yes.
Yes. There you go, Mr. Town. Set that in your calendar. Yeah, no, it's that's why I read them, because it's really nice.
Thank you.
I should
be able to talk to Ms. Call, so I might not have questions for you.
Well, I just hope that everything gets worked out. And
yeah, one way or another, we'll get it worked out.
Yeah, no, I think so. Zachary loves their chair.
Hopefully, you'll get comments and things worked out, and if you don't, go see the principal and Mr. Gansler from there, and hopefully we'll never have to get that far, because, you know, pleasing your kids, and we want them to be happy at school and learning at school and interacting with everyone else and knowing what they should be doing and not having to be at home. So hopefully it all gets worked out for everybody.
How much longer are we going to have Zoom meetings? Forever. That's my guess.
Yeah.
My guess is that won't change, because those of you that were on the board and been on the board for a long time, typically the people in the audience are the staff, right? This gives a lot more ability for people to interact with the board. We have to fix our room, right? We got to get back out there.
At 4:30, a lot of parents can't make it too, so I like that Zoom meeting. We're almost done with their work day and can jump on and be involved.
Angela Gowdy, the principal at Bear River, said, when instances like this arise, it's important to contact the site and administration so it can be addressed. If meetings were after 5, that would be more of us there, just saying. Thank you for working so hard to do the best you can for our kids. I strongly support them being unmasked for the many reasons that were mentioned tonight. Masks that don't actually work. My daughter has had an amazing start in kindergarten. Appreciate all that you're doing.
Okay. Well, if we have no more board comments, then we will close this meeting and go to closed session. Thank you all for coming.